This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. Today, our discussion is about disengagement and how disengagement is the shockwave we didn't feel. To talk to me about this today, we have Stuart Mackay, and he's an Australian-born founder and author of Clarity Integration, and is one of the instructors in the field of leadership engagement. Now, he's traveled the world for the last 36 years presenting Clarity Integration, a practical and measurable method to progressively clear the mind for higher personal and business engagement. And he has personally facilitated over 500 senior Petronas executives in the country. So, you know, you've been in this business for over 36 years. And there's a story behind it, Stuart. How did it all begin?
Well, thank you, Frida. This part of my journey began in about 1980 when I fired a guy that was very calm and focused. I wasn't. It was a very annoying experience. Very annoying. He later came to me and he said, listen, I did all my jobs properly, but you seem to be in the same spin as the other guys, and maybe you could learn to do something about your tone. I wasn't that grumpy. Yes, I was. I wasn't that friendly. I used to push hard, but I didn't push smart.
Okay.
And that's what he said, you could do things differently.
Right.
And you could learn to calm your mind a bit more.
Right. But I think there's another story behind this. You're dyslexic.
Yes.
Right? And that was sort of something that sort of and it got you on a journey as an entrepreneur. Maybe you can share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was a it also ties directly back into what I do now,
right.
Is that there's a technical side of life and there's a receptive side of life. And if what I had was I had the receptive, and I was very misunderstood when I went to school. They actually called me an idiot. And so what I would do, I would, after a couple of years, I overheard someone say to someone else, oh, he just looks out the window. And I just felt so good after that. Now, someone actually gets it. That we've all got different talents.
Right.
We don't just have intellectual talents. And these are the things that I struggle with. And my commercial, my design manufacturing business, my designs were stunning. People used to buy them. It was very successful. And managing-wise, not so good.
Right. And I know you're saying that. Maybe, you know, did you feel like, well, I'm the business owner. Obviously, you know, there is a lot more vested interest in this business, whereas he's an employee. You know, what was it that he said that sort of like gave you an aha moment?
Well, he was constantly kind to me.
What
that,
a shock.
I found
How
that annoying
could he?
As well. Yeah, I said, that's good, isn't it? Goodbye. Yeah. It's quite a, being the business owner,
right.
What I've learned now since been doing this for such a long period of time, that many of the leaders I come across are actually actively disengaged. But because they're calling the shots, they push harder into the fog and they lead everybody else into the fog with them and they wonder why things aren't working out. They wonder why their stakeholders are saying, well, what's going on here? You know, so what happens is that, they'll do a restructure. And each time an organisation does a restructure,
it gets foggier.
It gets foggier, but it sends a cannonball through every relationship, all the way through to the children's school fees, the dining room table, the mortgage, the entire thing, because everyone braces themselves and say, well what's next? What about me? And so the entire organisation slides one more step down while the restructure's going on. It's very expensive. So basically dealing with the things that I had to deal with as a business owner, you just don't know where to start.
Right. And you think it'd be a mechanical process to solve the problem?
Well, what we've been educated to believe, the answer is yes. It says, well, you just retrain people. But what happens is, that, as our earlier discussion, you can't retrain people who are not receptive. Yeah. It's like coming in here, pushing the play button and expecting to record something. This is not going to happen. So what happens is that what we're looking for now, we're looking for a word in Malaysia of enlightened leadership in order to make some steps and saying, well, hang on a minute, this problem is actually costing us a fortune.
Okay. Right. And just also, I mean, let me just ask as well, when you talk about the book, right, Clarity Integration, so obviously after the conversation with your ex-staff and you it led to the journey with you writing that book, you know, what was that journey like?
Well, that was probably one of the most successful experiences I've ever had, and frustrating. Because what happened is that I could actually see what I needed to do, but I couldn't explain it. And so what happened is that I had to actually produce, you know, look in hindsight, measurable, tangible evidence for people to go, now I know what you're talking about. Before, they thought it was something like, what's the point of doing something? So what happened is that drew me into a deeper part of what I needed to express myself, which was now what's called clarity integration.
Right.
But what happened is that when you're trying to explain something to someone and saying, well, what's the point of doing that? Just get on with it, you know, and say, well, okay, you're going to drag all those chains along with you. It might be easier to let them go and you might go a bit faster.
Oh, okay, letting go. We'll talk about that a little later. But, you know, the recent Gallup report noted that Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia and Singapore have among the highest proportions of employees in the world who are not engaged in the workplace. So in particular, in Malaysia, only 11% of employees are engaged, which means the reverse of 81% are not engaged and 8% are actively disengaged, right? And this was this came out in the New Straits Times in April last year. So how did these numbers get so high?
Well, there's a word we use in our business is called pervasive stress and tension. Now, I'll rewind a little bit here. Going back to when I first published in America in 1984, is I did the Chicago Stock Exchange and all these people. I was on tour for 6 months. It was a really full on experience. We did Hong Kong and so on, and then somehow mysteriously I was pulled out of that circuit. And I started working with cancer patients. So I went from prevention into intervention, basically, I won't call it medicine, but it's intervention therapy, not therapy, methods.
Right.
And so what happened then is that I found that most of the people won't change anything until they've actually had a diagnosis. Why bother? Unless they get to a point where they go, now it's official, I need to do something. Now, what happens is that tension, in order for that tension to manifest in their body, it's had to build up over a long period of time. It's not a random paradise we're living in. It doesn't just happen. So what happens is this tension has crept up, and then what happens is the weakest organ gives way. And then they say, we fix that. So try and fix the organ without helping the person. And this is what we're getting to. So this has taught me...
We're sorting out the symptoms but not the root cause.
Exactly. So what we're doing with organisations now is that we're getting people to go through the same process. So what happens is that the organisation starts to slip, so they start whipping the sales and marketing department. You can't whip the finance department because they're just counting. And you can't whip this section and that section. So what happens is that we're helping people realise, it's written in black and white, it's an organisation. It's an organ. And the organ is suffering a lot of stress. Therefore, it is not functioning properly.
Right.
So what happens there is we need to understand that it's pervasive stress and tension in the people who comprise the organisation is the problem.
So the liver is not removing the toxins and the heart is not feeling anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
And the stakeholders are feeling everything.
Now, I want to talk about the shockwave we didn't feel. Well, we'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Stuart Mackay, talking about author of Clarity Integration, and we talk about disengagement. Is the shockwave we didn't feel. Stay tuned to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Stuart Mackay, author of the book Clarity Integration, and we're talking about disengagement. It's a shockwave we didn't feel. So what is this shockwave we didn't feel, Stuart?
Well, the shockwave we didn't feel is basically the numbers, and what that actually means to a country. So we're looking at country numbers here, and so no one's escaping. You know, basically 89% disengagement. So what happens is that, just say for example, our largest resource organisation in the country suddenly announced it's got 10% reserves left. That would send shockwaves through the entire country.
Right.
It would just, you know, as I may have mentioned before, going right down to the dining room table, the mortgage and so on. Now, what happens, this is where we actually found ourselves, but we didn't feel it because it's crept up over a long period of time. It creeps up like a shadow or a slow sunrise, you know.
I'm thinking of that frog in that pot of water that's slowly boiling.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're cooked.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So what's that? Exactly. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. You can use it for your next interview.
Yeah. soup frog. Frog soup.
Okay.
So what happened is that Pirato, 120 years ago, the Italian researcher, he discovered that, you know, there was very few pea pods were producing most of the peas. And then he went on a rampage of, you know, going and developing the 80-20 principle. And so basically what happened is that a lot of, you know, there's 80% of people who are wanting to do things and 20% of people are getting things done. And, you know, with their varying degrees of expertise. But what's happened now is it's gone to 90-10.
Okay.
That is scary. That is pervasive. That is the shockwave we didn't feel. So suddenly, you know, the money's not there anymore. Because it's all. So what happens is that an organisation can look, can stand back, get off the dance floor, and stand back and just look what's happening. Is that they're paying? You know, they go to the petrol station every Monday. They're paying for a full tank of fuel, and they're only getting 10% in the bottom of the tank.
Okay. So in this case, you know, the vision for your organisation, along with potential new growth opportunities, will be restricted, denying you a healthy return of investment, and because all your strategic planning initiatives and technical training still need to go through this internal pipeline that is 90% restricted.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. You know, instead of having a 100% pipeline or even a 20% pipeline, it is. So the new broom might come in after a restructure, and he still has to deal with a pipeline that's 90% restricted.
So I'm thinking of heart arteries here.
Yeah. You paint some great pictures.
Okay.
So basically what happened is that each time, you know, we encourage people to, before they do even any training, get clear.
So how does disengagement act out daily in the organisation?
Well, on a from a practical point of view, just say you've got an organisation like you look here, and just imagine you've got two computers, two different kinds of computers. Now, computer number one, you've got 90% of people viewing 10% of the information.
Okay.
And then on the other computer, you've got 10% of people viewing 90% of the information.
So is this just a case also of lack of communication then?
Not so much. When there's receptivity, there's communications, but you can't have it the other way around. It's just not going to work.
Right.
You can't teach unreceptive people communications. Well, you can teach them, but it's
they're not receptive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The record lights, the record button's not on. So each time, so if you can imagine that, you know, if you've got an organisation of, say, 20, 30,000 people, and you've got 10% of people getting a pretty good idea what's going on, 80% don't have a very good idea what's going on.
They're in the dark, basically.
Well, I mean, that's money's just going, it's just pouring down the drain.
Right.
You know?
And training isn't going to help. Now, so what? And what is the normal reactions that organisations do to disengagement?
Well, first of all, quite often from a knee-jerk reaction is saying, well, how can we actually fix this up? And so what I've observed over many, many cases is that we're going to do a restructure. Now, a restructure can be a reaction to a business function. And so what happens is that from a receptive and energetic point of view, as soon as you mention a restructure, everybody starts to get scared. What about me?
Hmm.
So what happens is that goes into, and I've heard it through suppliers, oh, no, they're doing a restructure or you know, what about, where's our revenue stream going now? And so on. And as it starts branching out, until you get a culture, the whole thing starts to slide one more step down the staircase. And then the new broom, the new CEO, whoever it might be, has to not only regain that ground but also try to achieve what he's trying to do without dealing with the cause.
Okay. Can you resolve this with stress management?
Well, stress management, this comes up quite a lot. Do you do stress management? The answer is no, we don't.
Okay.
If you have a hand grenade in the middle of your office, are you going to put on more padding or are you going to learn to defuse it? And this is what another analogy is that, you know, you've got this wonderful office, the air conditioning's on, but all the windows and doors are open. Your energy is just dissipating as you speak. So it's basically, this is the nature of the pervasive tension in people's lives that is just, you know, it's the fog. We've met the fog.
Okay, now, so what then is the solution? You talk about the enlightened leadership, right? Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Well, enlightened leadership will actually start to go, I think there's something in this, because they'll be under pressure from the stakeholders, and so they should be, is that there is solutions, there is resources, there are, you know, there's 89% of resources not being taken seriously. They want to be taken seriously, but they're not actually not. If the numbers are still sliding and getting higher, that means they're not being looked at. So you've got this 90% of fuel not going in the tank. So what are we doing with it? So enlightened leadership, this has to be a golden opportunity. This has to be the most golden opportunity exists in Malaysia right now, is we need to get our people receptive. We need to get them engaged because we've got this resource, but we're not using it.
Okay.
It's not getting used.
Okay, so you went through a process with me staring into your face. What was the reaction what's that process that we went through? And I'll share a little bit as well, you know, like for me it was just, I got a little bit, there were some moments that were a bit of, it looked like you were moving a bit, but that just for a little while. But what happens in that process and what are we trying to get at?
Well, what happens when you instigate change of any sort, what we've learned a long time ago is that you can't train to change receptivity. You have to become receptive. You can't study to become physically fit. You actually have to do exercise. You have to do a practical form of something. And what I've developed over the years is a tangible and measurable form whereby sitting in front of a mirror, as we were doing, but using the face as a mirror, you're sitting in front of the mirror, is what happens is it starts to stimulate a range of responses, which are measurable. And so basically what happens is where there is focus, there is peace, and the peace is actually drawing this pervasive tension out of your mind and out of your body. So we encourage people to practice that for 5 minutes a day and then increase it over time. And so what happens is over a short period of time, it's a very simple, it's almost
meditative light.
It's reflective, it's receptive reflective, we call it. So what happens is that they can tangibly measure and actually measure their progress, that they're getting clearer. And most of the people who practice this, they find other people. You know, a girlfriend might say to you, what are you doing different? You're completely different. You're not. There's something changed in you, positive change.
Right.
And then you suddenly go to yourself, oh, yeah, well, I've been practicing clarity. I've been practicing getting clear. And you start to sleep better. You start to communicate differently. The relationships, you know, they pervasively start to clear up. So it's reversing the fog, reversing the tension. But what I've found is that we've had to be able to measure it. We have to be able to have all the tangible KPIs that business is requiring.
Otherwise people say, well, how do I know, right? Because it's always about KPIs, measuring it. So what happens, though? I mean, like, just the whole process, what usually happens in the beginning and what do you, you know, things come out, I guess.
You have to release. So this is not stress management, it's stress tension release. That's the big word is, the R word is release. We cannot pretend that these things can be managed or
removed
any other way than you actually, you know, going through a process to release them,
mm-hmm.
unless you want to use the surgeon, which still doesn't release them. It just releases the effects.
Yeah.
You know, it releases the symptoms,
symptom
but not the cause.
Yeah.
So it's some of the organisations we've been speaking to, they say, well, this is completely new to us.
Mm.
You know, this is a new concept. But what happens is that we have to go through the process of release, of letting go.
Mm. So what happens then when you talk about the effects on work after? Can you share with me some scenarios after going through the point of letting go? What are some of the things that happen in the workplace?
Good question. Basically, the workplace is made up out of tens of thousands of millions of micro decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of thousands of people going yes, no, or somewhere in between.
Coffee or tea?
Yeah, it's an enormous, it's a super highway of communications, which makes a business function. Now, if those people are operating under 80%, 90% tension, that information is going to be really, it's going to drag everything down. It's going to be a very slow march. So what we find people experiencing now is that once they start getting their mind clear, someone might come into the office and say, well, listen, oh, I want you to do this and this by such and such a time. And you go, oh, okay. And each time you go, oh, okay, it comes around and bites you because you know in your heart that was the wrong thing to say.
Mm.
You didn't have the courage to say yes or no.
Mm.
And so what happens when people start becoming clearer, they gradually start to make different choices. So the same scenario, the person comes running into the office, you know, full of urgency and the whole thing. Oh, I want you to do this and this by such and such a time. Great. You say, wow, that's really, that's amazing. I think that's really worthwhile considering, but not right now.
Hmm.
It's a wonderful thing. Acknowledge them. But what's happened is that you've got off the dance floor and you've been able to get onto the balcony to see that operating in an urgency is disastrous.
Okay, so it doesn't change the situation in an organization. Say they're not doing well, but what happens is it does, because now the employees are engaged and that will subsequently affect productivity.
Oh, absolutely. Well, productivity is basically one of our tools, that one of the, you know, most talked about thing. If you want to increase it, see, people don't actually have to be brilliant. They just need to be clear.
Mm.
You know, we've got some of the most highly educated people that aren't having any fun at all in the workplace.
Hmm. Okay, so what then is needed? What some next steps that people can
action?
Do?
People need to recognise that this resource is being squandered.
Hmm.
It's not being harnessed, and we've mentioned, we did an article recently, and we said, well, there's no lost money through disengagement.
Hmm.
It wasn't there. It just hasn't been realised. It's waiting to be done.
Mm.
It's waiting. You can't say you've lost it.
Right, but it wasn't even
there in the first place.
Right.
That was what you were hoping for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and I guess people can get hold of you on your website?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
claritynow.org,
mm-hmm.
or they can call me 016-919-2170, or email.
Right. And I think, you know, this is really interesting because, you know, with organizations and the economy as it is, and people just sometimes in the state of flux, not knowing what to do, they get disengaged.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, as you mentioned, it's a shockwave we didn't feel, and suddenly we're a cooked frog.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us, Stuart. It's been enlightening. I've been speaking to Stuart McKay, author of the book Clarity Integration. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.